Good evening. Tonight, what I want us to do, if you have your Bible handy or if there's one in the pew, I'd like for us to just look at 2 Timothy. And I want to look at a couple metaphors from the second chapter. We talked about this morning how that as a people of God, we need to learn how to forgive. We need to learn to seek forgiveness when we sin. We're well acquainted with sin, far too well acquainted with sin. And I know what it means to be indebted to another person because of my offense. And I also know what it's like to be offended. And the Bible tells us that our destiny hinges on how well we do that. We need to learn to forgive and to seek forgiveness. So that's something that we as a church need to get good at, if you will. Tonight I'd like for us to look at something else that we need to really, and maybe as you go through the week, these things will be a reminder to you of what you need to be and what we all need to be. The epistles are really helpful material. They're an extension of the life of Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 16, I have so many more things to say, but I'm not going to say them now, but I'm going to again give the Spirit, and He'll come and take what is mine and give it to you. And that's what we have in the gospel or the epistles. Sometimes people talk about the red letters of Jesus and maybe they have a little more weight, but they don't. What Paul said is what Jesus said. They're the words of Jesus too, just relayed through these inspired men. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want us to look at three things anyway that in the first 11 or 13 verses there that the Apostle Paul tells us we need to be as a church. And the points are just so clear. I really believe in illustration. I think that's what helps to cause us to remember. It helps to explain and clarify truth. Why, it's what Jesus did all the time. He preached in parables, and so much so that the disciples came to him and said, why do you always talk to us in parables? Why don't you just come right out and just say something? Well, Jesus knew the power of a story. He knew the power of parables, the power of illustrations. And that's what the Apostle Paul does in this passage to get across the points that he wants us to remember. He uses three metaphors, just one right after another. Have you ever heard of mixed metaphors? You know, where people use a metaphor that doesn't, it's incongruous. It doesn't go together. The other day I was reading some metaphors and I went and looked it up of students. You know, that they write in the papers that they have to turn in to their teachers and so forth. And they're trying to illustrate, but their illustrations just don't go together. Let me give you a couple examples. Somebody said, we can stand here and talk until the cows turn blue. Well, you know, that's not quite how that goes, but it was a nice try. Another kid said, you could have knocked me over with a fender. Well, feather, I believe, is the word he was looking for, but he said fender. I wouldn't eat that with a 10-foot pole. Another one was, he was watching me like he'd watch a hawk. Well, that's not quite right either. And then the last one I'll share with you I thought was funny was, he said in a paper, he was a wolf in cheap clothing. I think it's sheep's, but he said cheap. But anyway, what we have in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is not mixed metaphors, but we do have three in quick succession that make sense. And I'd like for us to look at those. In chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And notice the encouragement. Be what? Strong. That's going to be emphasized in every one of these metaphors. You be strong in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There's a lot riding on this. Heaven and hell hang in the balance. We've got to get the good news of Jesus to the lost. And we can't do it. Listen, if we just have preachers preach, we'll never reach the lost. We need faithful men to entrust the gospel to other faithful men who will do the same and just keep going and going. That's the only way to reach the world. There are 7 billion people in this world. How in the world are we going to reach those folks if just a handful of guys do it? Well, we won't. And so Paul says, you've got to be strong. And you need to take this message and you need to entrust it to other men so that they can teach as well. And he says, you therefore, listen, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please those who enlisted him as a soldier. So here's the first comparison. You need to be like a good soldier. How's the church? How's a Christian supposed to be like a soldier? I mean, they're all about war, and didn't Jesus teach us to put away our sword? Didn't he talk about a kingdom, a peaceful kingdom? So how is there the comparison? What is it that he's trying to get across to us? Well, two things that he explicitly mentions. One is endurance. Do you see what he said? You therefore must endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's not easy being a soldier. If you've been through basic training, you know that was very difficult. Today, so happens, was the alleged anniversary death of Adolf Hitler. And so I was looking at some things online and pictures from the World War II era, and I saw guys like in trenches, in the mud and muck. I don't know how they didn't. You know, their boots must have been filled with it. They just looked so miserable, drowning wet in this mud and down in a trench. And just, can you imagine having to live like that and not be able to get clean and warm? And, you know, it's tough. There's hardship to endure. That's what Paul said about being a Christian. Oh, if you think being a Christian is easy, you're mistaken. If you think Christianity is just a matter of getting wet and getting, you know, like a new start and you just get, you get baptized and everything's good and you're going to heaven, you're mistaken. If you see the turf upon which we operate and which we live as kind of a Christian playground as opposed to a battlefield, you've got the wrong image. We're at war. At war against sin, principalities and powers in heavenly places. We're at war at those things that have strongholds, their foot in the door in our culture, that are opposed to all that is holy. We can't just be content. We're called to fight against that. Not with weapons of flesh and blood kind of weapons, but with the gospel of Christ. And it's not easy. If you're a child of God, you'll face opposition. There will be people who laugh at you, who ridicule you. You've got to endure, and there will be hardships. All who live godly in Christ Jesus, he says, the next chapter, verse 12, will suffer persecution. So we've got to dig in. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be difficulty, and so Paul says that's this theme of be strong, guys. We're in for it now. You've enlisted on the Lord's side, and now you have an enemy, an adversary who goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and expect opposition. Okay? When it comes, Don't be shocked. Don't let it throw you for a loop where you say, wow, I can't believe I'm just trying to live for the Lord and I'm being so mistreated and people are ugly to me and bad things are happening to me. What's the sense in following Jesus? What's the sense in giving him my life? Well, there's more to life than just this life. And we need to be faithful. We need endurance. And then the second thing that he mentions in terms of this illustration about being a good soldier, he says you need to have endurance, but you also, he says, need to have your priorities right. You can't get entangled in the things of the world when you're serving, when you're fighting an army. And I think I've used this illustration before. I read a book and I cannot for the life of me find this book that I read. It was about the Civil War, and there was a particular unit in the Northern Army that was up in the New England states during the war, and they were pretty inactive. And there were men who were drafted, and there was a watchmaker in particular, and he was drafted into the Army, and he had a tent set up, and it was just boring. It's just outside the town where he lived. He was a watchmaker. And so he went one day and got all of his tools and took them in his tent. And all these guys have their pocket watches and so forth. And he began to just do watch repairs for all the fellow soldiers. Well, one day the orders came down. We got to get up and go. It's time to march. And he was like, we can't march. We can't go anywhere. I've got all these watches to fix. And he had his tent filled with all these watches. And he was saying, I can't perform my function as a soldier because I have watches. Don't you think he kind of lost his way? He's a soldier. And a soldier can't say, well, I'm going to have to let the battle go now because I'm busy doing this. You have to have priorities right. And it's the same thing with a Christian. Listen, you cannot get so tied to the things of this world that you forget your spiritual battle. When the Lord calls you to duty, you can't say, Lord, not now. Not now. Don't you know I've got this and this and this? The Lord takes precedence. We have to be willing to endure hardship, and we have to be willing to keep him at the front of our priorities. He comes first. So that's the first illustration he gives. And then he immediately jumps to another illustration. Look at verse 5. He says, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Well, we just went from being a soldier, and now he says, oh, yeah, it's like Christianity's like being a soldier, but it's also like being an athlete. It just immediately changes gears on us and makes a new comparison. It's like an athlete who has to compete. Did you see what it said? Who has to compete according to the rules. Christianity means that you have to follow the rules. We don't get to make them up. We don't get to do them on the fly. We don't get to ignore them. There are rules that maybe we find annoying, maybe even unfair in our limited perspective, but if they're the rules, you have to abide by them if you want to be crowned. Sometimes you might wish that the, out of bounds on the football field was just a foot wider, because you just step on the edge. You're out of bounds. That's the rules. Just this month, I don't know if you were watching, but there was a woman by the name of Lexi Thompson. She's a female golfer on the LPGA Tour. She would have won a tournament, but here's what happened. She had, a three-stroke lead at the time, and she hit the ball on the green, and she took her coin to mark where the ball was and then picked the ball up and looked at it to see if it had any dirt on it or something to clean it off. And she set the ball back down, but she set that ball down like a quarter of an inch different from where she picked it up. You could see there was no intent. She just laid that down and picked it up, looked at it, and set it down, and it was just because of the television, a guy watching television called into the rules committee and said, if you'll notice, she didn't put her ball down in the exact spot. And they reviewed it on video and they saw it was just this much over. They penalized her 2 strokes for it because she didn't put the ball exactly down at the same spot. And then because she signed her scorecard incorrectly then with the wrong score, she got another 2-point penalty. A total of 4 strokes, and she lost the tournament in a playoff because of that. She would have won, but she didn't follow the rules. And you might say, well, man, that's awful, but it was the rules. And your heart goes out to her, but it's what the rules said. And she suffered because she didn't compete according to the rules. Just today, I had a person call me sent me a message from West Virginia. And somebody I've been talking to about the Bible, and they said, you know, I've been baptized, and my dad was saved as well, but he didn't do all the things that you're saying that a person needs to do to be saved. He didn't do them all. And I just can't see why, you know, are you saying that my, you know, just this past week we had a lectureship dealing with questions that you're often asked. What happens if my mom or dad don't obey the Lord? Are you saying they're lost? What if they don't do what the Lord says to do? Are you saying they're lost? Man, there's so much emotion packed in those statements. But that was exactly what she did. She said, I know that you're showing me verses that say this, but my dad didn't do that. So what are you saying? Well, I'm not saying anything. There are the rules. You can look at them and read them for yourself. And Paul explicitly says, Christianity is like being an athlete who has to follow the rules. And that's exactly what we need to do. We can't make our own way. We can't accept the rules that we like and reject the ones that we find to be inconvenient or don't like. We just need to be lovers of truth and do what the book says. And then he begins the third in the very next verse. And in verse 6, he gives us the third illustration. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, that the Lord may give you understanding in all things. The hard-working farmer. We've gone, well, Christian's like a soldier. No, wait, it's like an athlete. No, wait, it's like a farmer, a hard-working farmer. My granddad King was a farmer all of his life. And I always enjoyed going to their house because he had this shed out back. They had moved off the farm and had come into town, but they still had all... They were tools that I had no idea what they were. They didn't look familiar. A sickle, you know, with the handles and everything. And I guess Granddad would clear the property like that. And he had this plow that he used and would hook to the back of oxen as he plowed up the garden area. And all these tools, I would go and look in the garage at all this stuff that was so unfamiliar to me. And it didn't take me long to figure out, wow, he's been a hard worker in his life. When he was 90 years old, I was a teenager. And when we would go visit, my mom would say, why don't you mow the property for Granddad? I didn't want to do it. It wore me out. I mean, it was almost like a couple acres, and it was a push mower. And it was a push mower that, some of you will remember this, but I know there's the kind you roll when the things spin, but this was a gasoline mower, but the pull string was like free. It was like a rope. You tied the rope on and you'd spin the rope around and pull it, and it took 100 pulls to start, and you had to wind it every time. It didn't recoil on its own. You were done before you got started because you were exhausted. And I'm thinking, my granddad's 90 and he does this, and I was like 14 and complaining. A hard-working farmer. There's work to do. And it's not all easy. There are things that God calls us to that are taxing and that take our best effort and diligence and sacrifice. That's what we got to be about. That's the terms in which Paul describes Christianity. And so from these three terms, and I think what Paul's doing is exactly what Jesus did. Let me tell you a truth, but let me tell it to you in the form of a story. And Paul said, I want to tell you what you need to be, but I'm not just going to tell you, I'm going to paint it for you. I want you to be a soldier who is willing to endure and who has his priorities set on the war. And I want you to be an athlete who is going to follow the rules. And I want you to be like a farmer, a hard-working farmer. And he says in verse 7, which I think kind of sums everything up, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. I hope you understand what Paul was trying to convey. There's work involved in being a Christian. Don't coast through this week. God has work for you to do. And you got to be strong. You have to be strong and endure like a soldier. You have to play by the rules. And you have to be willing to work hard. And if we'll remember that, we'll be the church that Jesus needs in this community. You see, when we stop being those things, and when we start looking inward instead of outward, and when we start looking for things that make things easier as opposed to being effective, hard-working, roll your sleeves up and let's get to it kind of workers, the lost don't get reached. People become complacent with their sin, and they don't become like Jesus. I want to challenge us to be those three things that Paul described for us and said, I hope you understand. I think it's hard to miss with the illustrations that he gave us. If you're here tonight and you're not yet a child of God, or if you have improvements to make in these areas as a Christian, I hope you'll resolve tonight to do that. It may be that someone's here tonight and you've decided, well, I just need to get on the Lord's side. I've never given my life to him. I haven't started this journey with him yet, and it's time to do that. Well, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you haven't done that, do that tonight. If you're a child of God and unfaithful, maybe you haven't been enduring like a good soldier. Maybe you haven't had your priorities right. You haven't been playing by the rules, or you haven't been working as hard as you should. And ask God to forgive you. And he's faithful and just to do just that. If you need to respond as we sing this song of encouragement, I hope you'll come as we stand together and sing.